This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Time, except that the time that comes after is better or worse?
Worse.
What was considered immoral, despicable and filthy maybe 7 years ago, it's considered perfectly fine in today's era. In today's day and age, right, you see that it is perfectly moral and acceptable. Something that was maybe shunned upon 7, 8 years ago. Even more so 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. As time goes on, things only get worse. So when I went to university around that time, it was really bad. One of the things that I witnessed, brothers and sisters, was non-Muslims who are around the same age as me and you. I can see a lot of brothers in their late teens, early 20s, mid-20s, some just coming into their 30s, and of course you have Awal Dayal, right, who are here as well. But the majority are within their youth. People like me and you, right, people like me and you, except that they were non-Muslims. You know what they were doing, brothers and sisters? Spending hours in the library learning about what? Mathematics? Geography? Yes, there were people like that. But you know what a group of non-Muslims were doing? They were learning about our religion. Our religion. They are non-Muslims. Orientalists. Learning about our religion to do what? To look for insight about the deen of Islam? To look for beneficial knowledge so that he may become guided? La. They were learning our religion, in order to use it against vulnerable Muslims who have no insight of their own religion. Mainly Muslim by name. Ma'al asif al-shadeed. Oh Allah, you really used to break my heart to see this. Was it one of the reasons that pushed me to study my own religion further? Perhaps it may have been. These non-Muslims are learning my religion here in these libraries. And I'm just going to sit around, learn about civil engineering. Not that I'm saying it is something that shouldn't be learnt. But you can see there is big fish to fry. Big nuts to crack with what is happening right before our eyes. That was then. You had Fitnatul Ilhad, right? That was really, really picking up at the time. Okay? You had liberalism that was becoming extremely prevalent, entering into just about every single home. You had feminism, right? That was taking over the brains of our women. And as for now, my brothers and my sisters, and excuse me for saying this, and I've been in touch with solicitors and lawyers, so the message is not going to get closed down. As long as I word it like this, you have a very, very different group of people who are looking to kidnap our children, figuratively speaking. The universities and the schools that we take our children to are not just breeding grounds for kufr and shirk and ilhad anymore. Right? It's a completely different ball game. It's a completely different ball game. Right? That which Allah, and I quote the scripture, and as long as you quote the scripture, my beloved brothers and sisters, you cannot be cancelled. You cannot be demonized. You cannot be criminalized. As according to the scripture, that which is considered absolutely immoral in our Sharia is being enforced onto our kids. You know, around that time, 2015, I used to give lectures saying to the parents, right, it shouldn't surprise you if your daughter wakes up tomorrow and says, "Dad, I want to have a relationship with Mark and Joe." Is that surprising? No, it's not surprising. Why is it not surprising? Because simply due to the society that we're living in, this is what's being normalized, right? There is a certain type of narrative that is being pushed. We, as parents, may not necessarily have done or fulfilled our duties accordingly by clarifying that which is the truth, that which should be propagated accordingly. We've taken them to these schools that you, brothers and sisters, are going to now, right? Willingly, college, universities, right? And this is what our children are being fed. And then when the child or this youngster, this teenager asks questions, what is one of the things that he is accused of or he is belittled with? This guy has lost his mind. Jinniya khawa. He's possessed. That's sometimes one of the first types of reaction that we have. When the reality of the matter is that this individual simply does not know. He has not been cultivated accordingly. He has not been educated. And because of that, he has all of these different questions that he's what? Asking. And that which he's so confused about. Right? This is now me stating a problem. We will come on to the solution, inshaAllah ta'ala. It's one thing identifying the problem, it's another finding a solution for it, right? So this, my brothers and my sisters, is the reality on the ground. It's not just atheism anymore. It's not just wanting to have a haram relationship. My daughter waking up saying, "Dad, I want to have a relationship with Joe or Mark. This is my boyfriend, Dad." And we as parents haven't necessarily fulfilled our duties by making it clear, by embedding within them that which is what? Morally unacceptable. Huh? As per Sharia. It's not just that anymore. I remember I used to say in the masajid, and I could see the parents looking at me, this guy's maybe what? Wafutfudut. Huh? He's just a little bit like, A year or two after that, I'm getting phone calls from the same masjid saying, this has become what? This has become so prevalent. This has become so widespread. In the same lecture, I would normally say that again, give it another couple of years, right? It's only a matter of time before our children might wake up. And wallahi, I say this from a place of pain, right? That our children may wake up and say one day, "Dad, I'm gay." Is it something that is far-fetched? Was it then? It really wasn't to me. Now, brothers and sisters, is this something that is what? Far-fetched? Out of touch with reality? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us 1400 years ago, "Min ashrat al-sa'a an yaqilla al-ilm, wa yadhhar al-jahl, wa yadhhar al-zina." From the signs of the hour, right? From the signs of the hour. And we are living these times, brothers and sisters. من أشراط الساعة أن يقل العلم ويظهر الجهل ويظهر الزنا. That علم will become so scarce. Ignorance will become so widespread. Zina will become normal, right? And ويكثر الهرج. Killings, again, brothers and sisters, will become what? Excessive amongst the people. I don't need to explain that for you guys to realize. Also, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over 1400 years ago, he said, "Inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum, or inna akhwafa ma akhafu ala ummati, amalu qawmi lut." That which I fear the most for my people, my ummah, is the practices of the people of Lut. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that over 1400 years ago, brothers and sisters. It's not a Bhutania picking it out of his own back pocket, right? Or making something up. These are authentic narrations that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied all of this time ago. Right? And I remember I used to quote these hadith, and people are still looking at me, this guy, maybe he's out of touch with reality, right? He's just exaggerating. to give the parents a heads up of what we as a community need to do to save the next generation, right, of becoming affected by all of these different minorities. And I call them minorities because this is the reality. They seem like that they're so huge, some of these minorities, when the reality of the matter compared to everyone else, brothers, they're like a drop in the sea. However, they're extremely loud because they are using this three-step strategy that was introduced in the 1980s by two Harvard graduates. Do you know what that is? I'll tell you guys. This two-step or three-step strategy was, it can be summarized in, number one, desensitize. Number two, jam. Number three, convert. What does that mean, my brothers and my sisters? MashaAllah, you're very quick, eh? Allah yahfadhak. I'll come on to that in a moment. I will come on to that in a moment. Let me go through this three-step strategy. So you guys understand how our youngsters and this generation of Muslims is being so brainwashed. We have to understand, my brothers and my sisters, that the consciousness of people is structured through desensitization by talking about an issue so much that it becomes just another issue. If I stand here every Friday, brothers and sisters, and I'm going on about the same thing week in, week out, whether you agree with me or not, you will sooner or later subconsciously accept what I'm saying, right? Or at least we will be somewhat on the same page, because I'm going on about it every single week, as opposed to someone who hasn't heard it. He just hears it once, oh, it's a bit of a culture shock. But I'm going on about something time and time again, right? We hear it on the media, we look on social media, we keep seeing it. The people around us at schools and universities are talking about it. What happens to an individual? He becomes desensitized. Does that make sense? Does everyone know what desensitization means? What happens when you go for Umrah? 2 weeks you spend in and around Mecca and Medina. How do you come back? With your iman sky high, right? You come back, you visit the city center, and you hear music. You feel very uncomfortable, sah? You feel very uncomfortable because you're not used to hearing that. For the last 2 weeks, you was in that environment which is free from all of this. Does that make sense, my beloved brothers and sisters? What happens 2 weeks down the line, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you keep walking in and out of the city center? You hear music, you might not even hear it or notice this music being played because we became desensitized. Are we all on the same page, brothers and sisters? So they keep going on about, right, that which should be accepted. So much so eventually you will become what? Accepting to what you keep on hearing. When this whole LGBTQ movement, brothers and sisters, right, emerged. When this whole LGBTQ movement emerged, it was a shock to us, ah? The moment we hear about a Muslim, it's a reaction. Right? Taib, do we find the same reaction today, 2022, when a woman becomes impregnated? It's just like another case, right? It's just happening again. Agreed? Is this like another case? Do we have that same reaction as to what we would have if we heard about a Muslim now becoming a homosexual or a transgender and so on and so forth? Yeah. Because the first has become what? So normalized. It keeps on happening. This is the stage that we are currently at. And here in the UK, and I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for this, and this is why I've been so vocal about this particular topic in most places that I go to, out of fear that we here in the UK will have the same consequences as those in America. You know what they told me now in America? You will walk through a university campus and you will struggle to find a hijabi. You will struggle to find a hijabi that does not have the rainbow colored badge. Huh? On a hijab. Or on her abaya, or whatever she's wearing. You will struggle to find a Muslimah who's wearing the hijab that does not have this badge. You will struggle. You know why? Because they became so desensitized to it. Some of the leading figures who are meant to be representing Al-Islam, right, have taken these positions politically in order to remain correct. One of them was interviewed, which he later on came out and said that he has so many other lectures saying otherwise. But the damage was done, that's the point. He came out on Al Jazeera. He was asked the question, what is your view on same-sex marriage? You know what he said? We agree with it politically, but we disagree with it morally. A 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old that's listening to this, what do you expect him to walk away from? What do you expect him to walk away with? When he hears, okay, it is politically correct, but it is morally unacceptable. Confusion. Lack of clarity. Lack of responsibility, brothers and sisters. Right? And it affected the next generation of Muslims. Alhamdulillah, here in the UK, we're so much more conservative. We tend to have, right, that adherence to what we have been founded upon, the natural disposition, the fitrah. However, that fitrah, brothers and sisters, is prone to be damaged and corrupted. It is prone to be what? Damaged and corrupted, depending on what we hear, what we as a community end up doing. We can choose to remain silent and act as if this issue is a non-issue. Turn a blind eye. We could choose to do so, brothers and sisters. Or we could take a very different approach to ensure that this generation and the next is inshallah ta'ala adhering to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at some ethnic backgrounds, brothers and sisters, who came here in the 50s, right? Who came here in the 50s, some ethnic backgrounds. When you look at the generation now that is 18, 19, wallahi, brothers and sisters, you will struggle to find al-Islam within them. Right? As opposed to those who came, 1990s, 2000s, they came into the country, and they have children. Those children, right, are very different to those of the parents who came in 1950s. The more one stays in these environments, the more he breathes and lives, the more he's bound to become affected, right? So who pays the price even more? The next generation. What can you, who's sitting here today, do something about what may be your children and those who come after them, the routes that they will end up taking? Ask yourself this question, and this is a point of reflection. If we as a generation is uneducated, what do we expect from the next generation? Honest question, think about it. We as a generation, we are uneducated. What do we expect from the next?
To be uneducated.
And when you have a generation that is uneducated, what is very likely that they will end up embracing? Kufr, shirk, ilhad, and all sorts of filth and evil. If you have any care and concern, brothers and sisters,
for the next generation of Muslims, you need to do something about yourself now and not tomorrow. Otherwise, wallahi, don't be surprised. If our own children wake up tomorrow and they say, "Dad, I am homosexual." Brothers and sisters, which party is currently in power at this moment in time here in this country? Labour, Conservatives. Which party is in charge? Conservative Party, right? Boris Johnson's gang. Conservatives, right? Did you know, brothers and sisters, right, that more than half of Conservative MPs, more than half of Conservative MPs, there is 363 altogether. 136 of them, they voted against same-sex marriages. أتعرفون هذا? More than half. Why am I mentioning all of this, brothers and sisters? I'm using the kuffar as an example so that we can realize something. The non-Muslims are holding on to their religion, their morals and their values. Why is it that we are made to feel that we have to either be on the back foot or we are forced to have coalitions with not these minorities? Why? لماذا? 136 of them voted against it, and they continue to propagate what they are upon, or what they believe, or what they see as values and morals. But with us Muslims, it's reaching a point where one brothers and sisters, right, thinks thrice when he's asked about his own gender. He hesitates, right? He thinks thrice. What shall I say? What is the hidden agenda here? Right, I'm coming inshallah ta'ala onto the second step of this three-step strategy. I'm going to come onto it inshallah ta'ala. But you have, look, these non-Muslims. Out of these 136 brothers and sisters, and I've been mentioning this a lot, and I took a lot of inspiration from this video. May Allah guide him to Islam. From amongst them was an individual called Jacob Rees-Mogg. Have you guys heard of Jacob Rees-Mogg? Jacob Rees-Mogg is a Christian conservative MP. He was invited over to the Good Morning Show, which was at the time being hosted by Piers Morgan, the Khabith. Right? Everyone knows Piers Morgan, right? Who has now his own private show alongside Jeremy Kyle. It's amazing how these two came together. Birds of the same feather flock together. Al-Khubth, came together. Tayyib. Jacob Rees-Mogg, brothers and sisters, was invited over onto this show called The Good Morning Show, and they kept on interrogating him. What is your position on same-sex marriages? Every single time he would say, according to the teachings of the church. Every single time, and they kept on pressing and pressing. What is your position on same-sex marriage? According to the teachings of the church. To the point that Piers Morgan said to this Christian, right? This Christian MP, why are you scared to give your own view? Why are you scared to give your own opinion? It's not about me, he said. That was his response. It is not about me. It is about whom? It's about how one, you know, should really structure his life and meditation according to the teachings of the church. These are non-Muslims. These fear-mongering tactics, brothers and sisters, right? They're empty. They just use that because, brothers and sisters, after desensitizing you, this is now what the second step. What is it? Jamming. It's to silence any expression or support of a dissenting opinion. If there is now a particular narrative that's being pushed, brothers and sisters, and you say that which is what in contrary to that, what happens? You get jammed. negative images are attached to opponents to discredit and to silence them. Fear-mongering tactics are used to instill fear in your heart and terror so that you don't speak out. Isn't this exactly what's happened? Right? They've made us to believe, right, that saying a single thing or holding on to your religion, right, you will be seen as an extremist, and then they will what? Profile you, you'll be categorized and madriyesh. And then one feels the need now that I need to take a very liberal, watered down understanding of the religion. And also, brothers and sisters, this is a marketing strategy as well, for those who didn't know. How people get their products across. Makes sense, right? Why many of us are currently on the back foot. Are being made to feel a certain way. This is also, brothers and sisters, when the cancel culture comes in. And this is the same approach of their forefathers. You know how you have this LGBTQ minor group, right? Their forefathers is who? Qawm Lut. Right? When Lut alayhi salatu wasalam said to them, وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةِ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. When Lut said to his own people, you carry out these immoral practices. أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةِ. You carry out these immoral practices, no one ever preceded you in it. No one preceded you in this. From the time of Adam and Eve, right? Not Adam, Steve. Adam and Eve, all the way up until this point, no one preceded you in this. أَيْنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ رِجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِنْ دُونِ سَبْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. What was the response when Lut alayhi salatu wasalam came to give da'wah to his people? And by the way, I'm just quoting a scripture. I'm not here to express my own views and opinions. Huh? Just quoting. وَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. The response was, kick them out. Drive them out of their homes. Indeed, they are pure. Right? They used violent tactics, what, to kick them out of their homes. Today, they cancel you. Just ask Twitter, which is the platform to cancel people. أليس كذلك? Anyone who comes with a dissenting opinion, he is what? Jammed and embraced with these very fear-mongering tactics to scare the life out of him in order to keep him silent. Number three, conversion. Now that they've kept you quiet, right, and put fear and terror in your hearts, so that you don't say a single word of what is being propagated. You have what? The conversion step, which is changing a person's emotion and will through psychological attacks using a variety of techniques. For example, now, attaching homosexuality to historical figures such as Alexander the Great. Have you guys heard of Alexander the Great? No. Alexander the Great, inshallah, when you go home, do a quick Google search on him. Alexander the Great, he was called the Great for a reason. Because of how much of the earth he conquered. Right? Apparently, according to this minority group now, Alexander the Great was gay. Apparently. Leonardo da Vinci. Abraham Lincoln. Right? And others. These are all claims which cannot be verified. They will tell you that all of these household historical names, right, were all homosexual. So if you become it, no problem. You've been preceded. All of these great personalities, they were of this kind. So it will now be so much more easier for one to accept. Right? This, brothers and sisters, is just one element of many in the conversion process. Just one of many. Let's give another example, brothers and sisters, right? Our sisters, who Allah deserve to be commended for wearing the hijab and the Islamic clothing under the scorching heat. Every single one of us should go to our sisters, our mothers, our female relatives, and tell them how great they are doing. You think it's easy, brothers and sisters, to wear the hijab under the heat? Think it's easy? We have the ability to wear shirts while she is in her gown, her jilbab, her hijab. Some are even wearing niqabs. Right? Everywhere you look, you see that the Muslimah, this Muslim woman, is being psychologically attacked. Women have been, right, objectified. We are in a very sexualized society. You look at the billboards, what do you see, brothers and sisters? You see naked women. And this woman who is now wearing her hijab, wherever she walks or wherever she goes, even on social media, we're coming onto social media, brothers and sisters. Right? The more you reveal yourself, the more attention you're expected to get. And even then, she's still holding onto hijab. Right? She's still holding onto hijab while they are trying to desensitize her from her morals and her values. Right? Constantly in her face, all of these women are liberated. Right? They have been freed. This is what they keep on hearing time and time again. Wallahi, it's not easy for them. Right? And they deserve to be commended for what they are doing, especially under the scorching heat. I remember many years ago I saw an interview of... Sorry, it was an interview. They sparred two Muslim women against one another. One of them was wearing a niqab and the other wasn't. She was what? Mutabarrija. Right? And they tried to use this woman who is not wearing the correct Islamic clothing to attack the other. Why are you wearing the niqab? Why are you wearing the hijab? It's extremely hot, isn't it? They tried to get her against the Muslimah who's wearing the correct Islamic clothing. Tfadal. Sogal. If you guys want, there's some space here. Yeah? You can get some space. Sheikh, come sit here. Tfadal. Lawlah ta'al. Tfadal. Brothers, there's a lot of space here. Some of our brothers are struggling to breathe at the back. Huh? You can come forward. Huh?
There's a space in this corner, inshallah, and some here.
Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? Everything around her, the way it has been structured, it is there to desensitize her. And anytime she thinks otherwise, she's jammed. Right? In order to silence her of what she believes. Or she's made to feel that what she believes, is completely out of touch with reality. It is not mainstream. We are in 2022. A completely different time and era. My brothers and my sisters, I want you all to hear the statement of David Rockefeller. Who can tell me a little bit about the Rockefeller family? For those who are in conspiracists and they read a lot about this kind of stuff. Now you're right about that.
He's a businessman, rich, wealthy guy. Really.
Rich, wealthy businessman, huh?
Illuminati
and stuff, huh? They are one of the main primary sources, right? when it comes to generating income for the Americans today. You know the guys behind closed doors? These, or this family now, is one of those who's financing a lot of things in America. They are the ones who finance the banks. David Rockefeller, who's part of this family, you know what he said? Look how he's talking. He's no president, he's not the prime minister, he's not the king, but look how he's talking. We started and funded the women's movement so we could tax both sexes. That way we could put women to work and their, or and take their children to control. I'll say that again. We started and funded the women's movement so we could tax both sexes. That way we could put women to work and take their children to control. My sister has been made to feel that, right, she needs to be liberated. She needs to come out and be a powerful, hardworking woman, right? And leave her kids in the hands of the kuffar or in the hands of somebody else. She's made to feel like that, right? But you forget that there is a hidden agenda. Even one of the Masonics once said, if you want to destroy a nation, you know what you should do? Just destroy the woman. Strip her of her clothes, and then you will see the household crumbling. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? You will see the household crumbling. Let's look at Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve. Right? What did the shaitan accomplish with them? He managed to get them to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla, right? What happened, brothers and sisters? Their clothes came off. Do we not see that this is the trap of shaitan? He wants you to lose your haya, your taqwa, your shyness and your piety of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Once you lose your shyness, you will see that the clothes will what? Follow suit. The shaitan managed to accomplish that. Does that make sense? And today, brothers and sisters, you see it again. Right? Where the woman is being targeted. And the end goal is to get her to take off her clothes. And khalas. تَتَخَرَّبُ الْبُيُوتِ. The households will become destroyed. My beloved brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect every single one of you. What is the solution to all of this? All of that which we mentioned. Right? Like I said before, it's one thing identifying the problem. It's another finding the solution. You know this three-step strategy that I just mentioned, which is also a marketing strategy. Right? We could use it to our advantage. We could use it to our advantage. If every single one here, every single individual here, went and just told one person about Islamic morals and values, and what he should believe and how he should carry himself, right? And how you have this minority, you have men, brothers and sisters, walking around with bras. They are proud of what they believe and what they are upon. They are proud of it. While we Muslims, right, who Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored, are ashamed of their values and morals. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, we are a people, نحن أمتنا عزنا الله بالإسلام. Allah Azza wa Jalla is honored through Islam. وَمَهْمَا ابْتَغَيْنَا غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهِ. The moment we begin to desire other than Islam, Allah Azza wa Jalla will humiliate us. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla will humiliate us. All of this filth did not become widespread except due to one thing. You know what that one thing is? Because we, every single one of us here, we didn't fulfill our duties accordingly, which is to learn our religion. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to just only learn if you want to become a serious student of knowledge. La. Every single one of us here have to be learning to some degree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create me and you except for one purpose. What is that one purpose? Ibadah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. You cannot worship Allah Azza wa Jal accordingly except with knowledge. That time of being silent, right? Just hiding behind pillars, right? And remaining in our homes, not wanting to get involved, is none of my... Wallahi, these days are over. Every single one of us will pay for it. If we don't take the right steps in just propagating what is in the Quran. And that requires knowledge to learn a little bit, and then start teaching the people around. So going back to the point I was making, if every single person here, right, went to just one person and told them what they need to hear, and then went back to them, told them again the same thing, and then went back to them maybe a couple of weeks after that and told them the exact same thing. Can you see, brothers and sisters, how we can use the three-step strategy now to start changing minds, changing the narrative of how people think? Muslims are coming out and saying, leave them, right? Miskeen. That's how Muslims are talking now. Tomorrow their child is going to come out and say, wallahi, you know, what they heard outside, they're going to what? Embrace fully with open arms. Sorry, I may be raising my voice a little bit, but I'm extremely, extremely passionate about this. It honestly, wallahi, brings a lot of discomfort. Literally right now, when I came from Northampton, I drove down from Northampton all the way here. Right? After the khutbah, one of the administrators of the masjid came up to me and said, a child came up to me and said, I'm confused about my identity. I'm confused about my gender. Why? How did he come to know about this? Or how did he even become exposed to this? Because he's on social media. This minority group that are a minority, and I keep using this term minority because they are minority, brothers and sisters. Right? Because of how much they, or should I say, how vocal they were on social media. They just took advantage of the social media platforms. And it appears that they are so big and huge because every single one of them, what? Is coming out and using it to full force. While we might be sitting around, terrified, forget about saying something against it, we are terrified to even what? Talk about our own agendas when we're asked. The guy thinks thrice. Why is he asking me this? Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, brother and sister, he says, لا تستصعب مخالفة الناس والتحيز إلى الله ورسوله. ولو كنت وحدك. Do not see it as a burden, siding with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even if you are by yourself. And that is because فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you. Allah azza wa jalla will be by your side. Right? Like I said, the mess that we find ourselves in today, and I'm begging Allah Azza wa Jal that in the UK it doesn't become like it is in America. And we as UK guys, right? Or UK as a society, it always tends to what? Follow America. We're just maybe 4 or 5 years in filth behind. 4 or 5 years in filth behind. A very profound statement of Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah. You know what he said, brothers and sisters? Right? And I think this is so powerful. He's speaking about something in particular, but it can be applied here as well. He says, فَإِذَا ضَعُفَتِ السُّنَّةِ قَوِيَةِ bid'ah. When the sunnah becomes weak, bid'ah will become strong. Which is the opposite of the sunnah. How can we put what's happening today into context? When calling to that which is right, just basic morals and values in the Quran, basic things. When we stop doing that, when we fell to some of these tactics, right, the opposite of the Sharia became so strong. The opposite of the Sharia became strong, brothers and sisters. Who is to blame for that? None other than ourselves. right? Wahbarta. Learn your religion, brothers and sisters. I'm not telling you to become an alim, to become a scholar, to become the next Sheikh Abdullah. I'm not even asking that. Or the next Sheikh Muhammad Ali. Right? I'm not even saying that. Learn that which is going to, inshallah, protect you from fitna to shubuhat wa fitna to shahwat. The fitna of these doubts. Right? We can call the people to make hijrah, to migrate. Is that really realistic for most people? Perhaps it's not. Tayyib, we have a problem and we have to what? Learn to maneuver and navigate around this monster that we have. And the only way you could do that is to equip yourself. This is why I make a lot of dua for this brother called Daniel Hakikashu. You guys heard of him? Yes. I don't agree with everything that he says. Walakin, this man started a war. With who? Feminists, liberalists, this movement that we find becoming extremely prevalent. And he's writing and non-stop writing, making videos, non-stop videos, dealing with a lot of these mainstream problems. He's filling a void that barely anyone is. Like I said, brothers and sisters, you go onto the World Wide Web, and that's what WWW stands for those who didn't know. Right? Everyone is propagating their own filth. There's not enough Muslims to what? Tackle all of this. Even then, I'm not telling you to come out on YouTube and start going crazy, or to start what? Debunking. All I'm saying, learn. Protect yourself from fitna to shubuhat, fitna to shahwat, so you're able to protect yourself. Otherwise, the price is, brothers and sisters, if you want the next generation, our kids, apostating, waking up one day, Dad, I'm confused about my gender. Right? Some of you guys are 14, 15, 16. You're going to be parents tomorrow. Then what? Sit down and don't do nothing. And that's the reality every single one of us is going to have to deal with. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless every single one of you. Jazakum Allah khair for attending. I think I went over the time, right? Where's Ustad Ubaid? I don't think he's here yet.
It's 2 minutes away.
2 minutes away. I'll take his 2 minutes. Does anyone have any questions? Tafadhal.
You mentioned the three-step strategy. And you mentioned the person who rocked
David Rockefeller.
Shouldn't we then as Muslims propagate the statements of these people so that we can get the relief and the Muslim men to know and realize what's happening? Shouldn't we, yani, we reach out to the Muslim speakers that, yani, have alhamdulillah fame and followers? Should we speak out and make them speak about these statements a lot so then they can get wise to them and use this strategy against them?
Inshallah ta'ala. Brother, he basically asked, why shouldn't we get the famous, well-known speakers who are followers to use this three-step strategy? Well, that is a very good point. I've been trying.